I went last night to a Hanukkah gathering, and somebody who was sitting near me asked, "Yesh lecha esh," which means, "Do you have a light?" And as is my tendency, when people ask me that question, I said, "Ken, bifnim." Yes, inside me. She wasn't very interested in that. at that moment, she was looking for a lighter. Fortunately, not for a cigarette, but to light the Chanukiah. At least her disinterest was l'shem mitzvah. Little did she know the real nerot of Chanukah are indeed within. And I was thinking the refrain that goes around Chanukah is Banu Choshech Ligarish. We have come to dismiss, to expel the darkness. And I don't like that. So I changed it to
That's what you can do when you're Jewish.
Yeah, right? It's not like it's not from the Torah. It's just like it's a song.
Yeah.
So what I change it to, I like the mangina, the melody. So I said, Banu im choshech lehipagesh. We came, rather than we came to expel darkness, we came to meet with darkness. And it struck me how tragic it is when we forget that darkness is also light. And the dark parts of us, the challenging parts of us, those are also light. And when we forget that, that's what Hanukkah is about, right? That the Greeks try to lehashkicham, to forget, to make the Jews forget the Torah, Uraita, the light. As the Sfat Emet says, to bring us to a place of just a habitual way of being, and to a place of forgetting. And in that habitual way of being, forgetting, the way which is described as just the way of nature, then our natural urges are in control, in the sense that when we encounter unpleasant experience, we naturally try and run away from it or get rid of it. And as the saying goes, as within, so without. So we see that the way that we relate to the difficult parts that are within us is the same way that we relate to the difficult people and entities and things which we encounter outside of us, and vice versa. It's quite illuminating when we notice a very strong reaction to, or a hateful reaction, or a desire to get rid of something or somebody or some people which are outside of us, and we might be interested to explore, to take the light of the candle and explore within, as the verse says, Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam Chofes Kol Chadrei Baten, that the light of God is the soul of man, which searches all of the chambers of one's innards. So taking that light and searching, where is there here a place for the light of the divine, or is there something which I am rejecting? Because when we know that it is all divine, then there's nothing to reject. But rather, it's a matter of refining our sensitivity, of instead of forgetting, being aware. P.S. Etzner says that the essential spiritual sickness or malady is forgetting, losing awareness. And instead of losing awareness, holding in awareness, or holding a wakefulness to the divinity which is ever present in everything. It's like there's some light, there's actually quite a lot of light which we don't see, right? The light which is outside of the visible light spectrum, X-rays, infrared, etc. So the same is true of our difficult experiences. It's not that there's not light there. It's not that they're intrinsically bad. It's that we are not able to receive the light, or that we are relating to them in a way which is in darkening rather than illuminating. Oh, wow. Choshech, the word for darkness, and shachach, the word for forgetting. Wow. Right. So, in other words, because those are the same letters, they're permutations of the same phenomena. Wow.
The Greeks, like we're talking about the Greeks, want us to forget Torah, that's darkness.
Right, forgetting Torah is darkness. Right. And remembering Torah is light. It's not by chance that Torah in Aramaic is Oraita, light.
I was thinking about the Sakhar Shomer. Like, we like Canvas for Shabbos, supposed to represent Sakhar Shomer.
Okay.
Like, it's has connected to remembering.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where are we going to?
Which is, I, not that these are easy things, but I don't understand. Like, different thing to say meet with darkness and say, but actually there's light in darkness.
That's true.
And we might call the Torah alright, but we also say it's our order for a push up.
But it's
you say that God creates both dark and light.
Yeah. So if you look in Bereshit, actually before God creates dark, night and day, or light and dark, he just creates light. That's the original thing which is created. And then everything is a permutation thereof. That's what we learn also from physics today. There's no such thing as matter. There's only energy, there's only light. And it is true that meeting with darkness and perhaps transmuting or revealing darkness as light are two different things. In fact, I thought about changing it instead of to meeting with as Banu Choshech Libeir, which is to convert. It doesn't have quite the same ring, but.
I think when you go through the darkness, you come to light. Like there's the journey process, and you go down the levels of your emotions, and you come to a place of darkness in the journey. And then when you get through that, you go into this great place of light and bliss. So. And then when you understand, like, the darkness is kind of a veil, but you don't want to stop there, but you go through it and you find light. But if you back away from the darkness, then you can't get through it. I think that's the word.
Can you just also, it's like, when you say meet the darkness, it's kind of like, let the darkness in.
Yeah.
High darkness.
Right.
Without trying to necessarily change it into light.
Right.
I mean, it does shed light on it because, but it's, you know, it's also when you're trying to change something, like you're fighting against instead of kind of accepting light.
Yeah. So that's really important that and there's different ways of working, and we're starting to explore them. Last week we started to explore a process of exploring different ways of working with thoughts. And so one way of practicing is just letting it in, letting it be here, letting it be difficult, and dropping the resistance to it, we discover is actually a huge, already resolves a tremendous amount of what's there, meaning the difference between darkness, struggle, pain, and suffering is resistance. We can't get rid of all pain, that's just a fact of life. But what we can let go of is our resistance to that pain, and in doing so, our suffering drops. That is true. And I'm certainly not advocating a violent or even subtly violent of, I'm here to get rid of you by changing you. Rather, I'm going to welcome you. I'm going to listen to you. And what I believe what happens, and Rory, maybe this elucidates some of what's there for you, is that, for instance, if I have a let's do this. Ready?
Yeah.
We're going to do a dramatization of what happens in different different ways of relating to thoughts. Difficult thoughts. Thoughts which manifest as...
Is that what's the plan?
Yes. I mean, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I asked him to enter the door as a thought. Okay, so we know that what happens, we sit in our practice, and then thoughts come in, and then we have options.
We're not so polite,
both of
them. Is.
Haven't started yet.
Okay. So I'm sitting, and then a thought comes in.
Uh-oh. Danny, how sure are you? You took the dog out this morning.
Go away.
Or you left.
Go away.
Yeah, you know what happens.
I'm not interested.
The dog on its walk. First of all, it has all this pent-up energy. It starts tearing apart the cushions and the
I'm not interested.
And
thinking.
Then that, it even starts
thinking
in the house. So, shouldn't you go back and check? Take the dog out? You might have to cancel all your appointments the next hour and a half. You're having guests over tonight. It's Shabbat dinner. It's Hanukkah. And if you don't go back and put the dog out, then it makes and it
leave me
house,
alone!
You're not going to have time to clean up before the guests start arriving. You close the door, you walk to your car, you left, and your dog is inside right now looking for the best spot. Just crouch down and take care of business. If you leave right now, you might get there just in time. Tick-tock. it's starting to circle a lot. Maybe it just changes his mind. It's going to go lay down for a few minutes. So it's still what to do. It's not too late. Okay, now it might be too late. You don't know unless you do.
Fine.
Yeah, for sure the dog made it by now.
Tell me, what is it that you want?
Danny.
I'm listening.
I just want to make sure that the situation is under control. You don't want your guests, you don't want them to show up and...
Mm. I really want things to be okay. Is that it?
Yes. Seems like the best thing to do would be to... you're still sitting there. Mm-hmm. You still look comfortable. You're still mm-hmm. trying to shut me out.
Mm-hmm.
But,
you really want some action to make sure that things will be okay? Is that it?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it's probably too late. Yeah, any of your roommates will be home before you anyway. You can leave the mess to them. So on
mm-hmm.
second thought.
Mm-hmm. So maybe it's okay.
Yeah, it is. But at the same time, they have the right to vote you off.
So there's some awareness of what might happen and wanting to be responsible?
Yeah, say the least. Your parents are coming to the meal, your in-laws will be there.
That sounds like fun. And when you realize that things are okay,
those are good. My anxiety is because I don't think this is one of those times.
Welcome anxiety.
Okay. You okay with that?
And anxiety, what do you want from me?
What do I want from you?
For me.
What do I want for you? Well, anxiety can be a tool, because if I continue not caring and feeling blissful, everything's going to be okay. The worst is yet to come.
So you're really here to help me?
Yes, 100%. Oh. I only have 100% best intentions.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm so appreciative of that, because sometimes there's things that I'm not aware of, so I really love it.
I got your back. I'm here.
Take a seat and just make yourself feel at home. Does that elucidate what's possible in meeting something which seems really difficult, challenging, not here to help? And the potential to actually discover in it beyond its first appearance something which you'd really want to include. I would say generally, but maybe I'll ask anybody who was watching what you noticed, what seemed like it resonated, what worked, what doesn't work, if that was is familiar from your experience within yourself.
So often when I've been in meditation spaces and asked to sort of stay focused on one thing and kind of keep other thoughts at bay, and it was really, first of all, thank you for the excellent performances. It was just like really striking to me how off guard you were when being addressed directly. And that there's something so appealing to being able to say, oh yeah, there's a thought. Like, actually give space. Mm. Not let myself drown in it, immersed in it, but yeah, to meet it. To meet it is really, really appealing, even if I don't know that the thought would be as lovely and acquiescing. there's
right.
Plenty of thoughts, that are so persistent that really it's hard to.
Right.
Also, like when you resist it at the beginning, it seemed to give him more power.
Yeah.
It grew, And when you were more accepting, hey, anxiety, okay, it's like, then the thought was a little off guard. It's like, oh, what do I do with this now?
Right. Like that need for like a driving persistence, and I'm going to like nudge you. Until you turn around, it's like, well, oh, then you actually turn towards me, so I can drop that act and actually be here for my purpose. The last thing I'll say, because our time is culminating for now, there's a Torah, actually, which is on a verse from the Megillah, where it says, the turn of each and every maiden to come before the king. So in the Likutim Ikarim, which is teachings of the Magid of Mezrich, a teaching which says this is talking about machshavot zarot, unintended or strange thoughts which enter during tefillah or during practice, and that the na'ar, kol na'ara v'na'ara,
is the machshavot menu'arot, or those thoughts or those parts of us which are have been dissociated, cut off, exiled, estranged from our core sense of being. And the reason that they're coming up is to be reintegrated. And Hamelech there stands for awareness. So in turning towards and allowing them to come, then we can actually do the work of integration. And those parts of us which are so incessantly insistent, we can actually reintegrate. Now, and there's a number of processes and tools which I hope we'll get to go into together to actually do that work, which can be so life-changing. Parts which have hounded us, perhaps for almost all of our lives, to be able to open to them in ways where we can realize, oh, this isn't here to actually badger me. That's just a strategy which was learned at some point, and open it for its divine and essential quality, and bring it back in. So I hope we'll get to pursue and deepen in that work together. And as the Sfat Emet says, we light from the left to the right because we start in that place of Din and Gvura, the hard places, the Choshech, and we go towards Rachamim and Chesed, towards compassion and love, starting in the Choshech, and little by little, moving our way to more light and to more love. So I wish us all a Chanukah of Chen, of grace and charm, and connecting to the light and rededicating ourselves, which is Chanukah, rededicating ourselves to creating the capacity to be a Mikdash, in which Hashem is Shulchan, as we're told, in which the Divine dwells and radiates out, walking out in the world as walking candles. Yeah, this week it's candles. So thank you. Thank you for coming. As always, this class is by donation, and your generous donations are very supportive for me.